So we got to come to your mother. Your mother's name?
Jeannie B. Goodwin. Her middle name stood for Bell. Her maiden name was Osby, Osby White. In fact, my mother tells me that her mother and father disapproved of my father as an appropriate suitor for her. In fact, my mother tells me that the way she got married was by eloping, but she eloped on a unilateral move on the part of my father, that she was taken by surprise, and he said, I'm going to marry you, and they in fact got married. Years later, I asked my mom if she regrets, and she's no, she never did regret the decision, and he treated her like a queen, really, as a kid growing up. My mother had long, flowing hair, and she, too, could pass for white. Now, in fact, when he would go to Mississippi, she would have to ride in the back seat of the vehicle, people thinking that he was her chauffeur. They didn't go to Mississippi that often. But she, like my grandpa, was very fair conflicted.
Was she a homemaker then and took care of the home?
Yeah, she was a homemaker. She began her work in social work, then became a teacher. After the 8 kids were of age, she went back to teaching. My brother Bob, when Bob was born, she was about 45 years old, so she went back to teaching somewhere in her mid-40s and early 50s and taught until she retired in her 60s. My mother originated from Springfield, Illinois. Interesting enough, Foddy was, I think, a nickname for my grandfather on her side, and Minnie was her mother. I have in my possession a clock, reportedly, that came out of the office of Abe Lincoln when he was a lawyer. Because I think my grandpa did some janitorial. He was in the real estate business, but also part of his life he did janitorial work. And reportedly, according to my mother, this clock came from his office when he was in partnership with another lawyer whose name was Cape Smith. I do have in my office also an original paper, the Illinois paper, where Abe Lincoln and his partner are advertising their profession on the front page, classified ad. Anyway, my mom graduated from Springfield. There was a race riot in Springfield, Illinois, I believe when she was living there. So she had experienced 2 race riots in her lifetime. I guess my first principles of life came from my mom. From a young age, I can always remember her telling me, not that I understood the significance, but she would always quote to me, "For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" Now, I was taught that passage as a child. I know not why it would resonate with me. Those were one of the first principles that I received from her. Another principle was when you're facing adversity, or when people are dead set to cause you grief, for whatever reason, you don't get bitter, you get better. Those are 2 principles of living that she always embedded in us as children growing up. By contrast, my father, one of the principles embedded in me by him was, a man who does not take care of his family is worse than an infidel. That was etched in my mind. Typical, I suppose, of an American family, even though you had all these other kinds of negatives going on in our society, those principles and community service, I was sort of born into. My father raised 8 children plus. He was always providing. He was a builder. He was a man who loved gardening and he loved hunting. And he was always building edifices, you know, for this, that, and the other. My mom was an excellent homemaker, loving. I can remember her and my aunt telling me stories. They'd tell me stories of Br'er Rabbit. My aunt, Anna Carroll, was a great storyteller, and I would crawl up in her lap. Mother, on occasion, would do the same thing. Mother would always tell each of us, but privately, I learned later, "You're my favorite." And I later learned what she meant was that we all were her favorites, right? And I inferred that what she meant by that was like there are different sized glasses, if you will, and each one is filled to the brim. So we all had enough love. She'd pour enough love into us to fill us up, so to speak. And so to the extent that we were individuals, she would pour her love sufficient into each one of us, which made us all feel special. That was my mom. My mom was a very God-fearing woman, as you can tell. When we were young, the nuns would come over. My mother was somewhat sickly. I remember on one of the plateaus where we lived, she had a lounge chair with a padding, and she would sit out kind of in the sun just resting because she was a weak person. This long, flowing hair, I remember very much. And the nuns would come over and take my brother, Edward, who was about 4 years my senior, and I into tow and take us over to the school. So I was learning to form letters in preschool. My brother Edward was an altar boy later. And then years later, I returned to the Catholic Church. I was baptized. She allowed us to be baptized. Her view was, there are many roads that lead to Rome. As long as you're in the church, I don't care what church it's in. Just be there. Never was she fixed on any particular, quote, faith. So as a result, from the Catholic Church, I was introduced to the Methodist Church, to the Baptist Church. And then years later, in my high school formative years, when I began to search for that which fed me, I returned to the Catholic Church. But Mother was always supportive and always sort of monitored our progress by never intruding into our lives, but always dropping a hint here or there or making a comment here or there.
But as a youth, were you raised in the Catholic Church? So the whole family went to the Catholic Church?
No, I was not. A sister who was a Methodist, attended a Lutheran church. I had some who were Baptists. So, no, there was a hodgepodge, if you will, for lack of a better term. All Mother wanted to know was God's first and you serve Him.
So she hadn't chosen this particular church herself?
No, she would go Baptist. In fact, when we moved to the country, we went to a one-room church that was by the track. In fact, my dad's funeral was there when Oral Roberts insisted on coming to being part of the ceremony. We had just a one-room church. We probably could seat no more than 30 people.
And where was this located?
In El Suma, just a few feet away from the track that I lost my arm on, the Katy Railroad. There was a church right by the railroad track in El Suma.
El Suma?
Yeah, El Suma was a little community that was just outside of Tulsa. That is now at 51st Domingo and that area. It encompassed probably a square mile, maybe. Or maybe it was only about 320 acre in size. The Oakland Greenhouse was there at the time, the Peters. There was a schoolhouse that I went to school at. It was a two-room schoolhouse. And there was a black and white community separated by the tracks. It was called El Suma. The Paramons, the Indian tribe Paramon, that branch lived right down the street from us. It was called El Suma.
So that was way out in the country then, as far as Tulsa was
right,
concerned.
Right. From my dad's office to our home place was about 15 miles, which was a long way in the 30s and 40s.
You said when your father died, you had the funeral there.
At that church. By that time, he and Oral Roberts were very close. My dad had been a trustee at Oral Roberts' bank, and my brother Bob finished at ORU and was a very active student in Oral Roberts' ministry, traveled over the world with him and his World Action Singers, and later was president of the student body. This would be, I think, the second graduating class at ORU. My dad and Oral Roberts and Evelyn Roberts were very close. This would have been in the 70s. I remember when my dad was in a nursing home, both those people coming to see him and speaking with him.